In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Friday, January 6th, 2017 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus.
Speaker Ryan, can you tell me how and when you're going to pass legislation to defund Planned Parenthood?
Well, Planned Parenthood legislation would be in our reconciliation bill.
That Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, at a press conference yesterday, announcing the plan to defund the nation's largest abortion provider, Planned Parenthood. The battle against Planned Parenthood and Obamacare's abortifacient contraceptive funding will be an uphill effort for Republicans in the Senate, however. Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski and Maine Senator Susan Collins, both Republicans, have opposed pro-life initiatives in the past. A new report issued by the Charlotte Lozier Institute and Alliance Defending Freedom claims that Planned Parenthood has overbilled taxpayers $130 million. The study was based on a survey of publicly available federal audits on the abortion provider. Indeed, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." John 10:10. Six religious leaders plan to participate in the swearing-in ceremony for Donald Trump, the 45th President of the United States. Catholic Archbishop of New York, Cardinal Timothy Michael Dolan. Dr. Samuel Rodriguez, the President of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. Paula White, a female pastor from the New Destiny Christian Center, who will give the invocation. Rabbi Marvin Heer, Dean and Founder of the Simon Wiesenthal Center. Evangelist Franklin Graham, and Bishop Wayne Jackson, Senior Pastor of Great Faith Ministries International, who will provide the benediction. President-elect Trump is already getting involved in matters of international trade. Yesterday, he tweeted that Toyota had better build their Corolla cars in America or face, quote, big border fees, unquote. Toyota is building assembly plants in Mexico right now. Republicans now have gained control of Kentucky state government after 100 years, and the pro-life issue is first on the agenda. The House voted 83-12 on a bill that would require an ultrasound before a mother makes the decision to end the life of her baby. Texas Republicans have introduced a bill that would allow private businesses in the state to make their own decisions as to whether transgenders may use this bathroom or that one. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, a conservative Christian and chair of the state Senate, calls the Texas Privacy Act a top legislative priority for 2017. A Ugandan woman who recently became a Christian, Sandra Sumaya, was forced by her Muslim family to eat poison at a New Year's celebration. Thankfully, God brought a Christian neighbor to hear her cries for help, and Sandra is now in the hospital. Please, pray that she recovers and that her family would repent and come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Master. Jesus said, "A man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Matthew 10:37-38. The situation is still dire in Haiti after Hurricane Matthew hit the country a few months ago, according to Oxfam, a humanitarian aid organization that is working in the country. The World View spoke to Dr. David Vanderpool of Live Beyond in Haiti directly after the hurricane, and he shared the best ways to help Haitians without hurting them.
One of the things I think is important is to work with people who are on the ground like we are. We're packing food bags right now. In fact, we're putting food bags together, putting rice and beans and things right now and vitamins and handing them out. We know the people. We know who's hungry. We know who's in dire straits. The other thing that we try to do as well is we try to buy as much food locally as possible so that we can stimulate their economy.
A young man was hanging 10 feet in the air by his neck from the chairlift at Arapaho Basin in Colorado on Wednesday, reports the Denver Post. By the amazing providence of God, a professional slackliner happened to be in an adjoining chair. Mickey Wilson worked his way down the chairlift cable 30 feet in the air. until he reached the unconscious skier hanging by his neck. Wilson cut the man loose, and the man's life was saved after ski patrol performed CPR on him. Wilson said his slackline experience prepared him, quote, perfectly, unquote, for this. Sliding down the cable was second nature for him. And that's the world view in 5 minutes on this Friday, January 6th in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
My friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor of a church called Reformation Church in Elizabeth, Colorado. And we've been working on this Reformation for some 16 years. And we've named it after the first Reformation because we appreciated the work of that first Reformation some 500 years ago. And this is the 500th anniversary of that Reformation. Bill Jack in studio with me today from Worldview Academy.
That was 500 years ago that you established that church out here in Elizabeth?
500 years ago, I walked up to the Wittenberg church door.
Did
and
you?
Wait, that wasn't me.
Oh, no.
That was Martin Luther. That was Martin Luther that did that.
Yeah.
Martin Luther. You know Martin Luther? Not Martin Luther King.
No.
You ask somebody.
Junior.
Have you ever heard of Martin Luther? You know what the average person would say?
Martin Luther King.
Yeah, I've heard Martin Luther King. Yeah.
His speech, I Have a Dream.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Back in 1964, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they would say. And we come back and say, well, actually, there was another Martin Luther. Well, it turns out Martin Luther, very influential, and there's been three surveys done, or three particular lists of the most influential people of the millennium. Now, three organizations did it, and I put them together because I wanted to sort of contrast and compare what these different lists. And now, these are pretty significant lists produced by pretty significant organizations. Time Magazine. Significant?
Yep.
Yeah. A&E, that's Art and Entertainment Channel, A&E. A&E did their thing, and also Biography.com. So three lists. I put them together because I wanted to see, okay, who was the most influential on all three lists? So I did a compare and contrast on this, and let me quickly go over them. I'll just hit them very, very quickly. Here's the A&E list. Johannes Gutenberg, Isaac Newton, Martin Luther, Charles Darwin, William Shakespeare, Christopher Columbus, Karl Marx, Albert Einstein, Nicholas Copernicus, and Galileo Galileo. And then Time Magazine also had their list. St. Francis of Assisi, Johannes Gutenberg, of course, Michelangelo, Martin Luther, Galileo, William Shakespeare, Thomas Jefferson, Wolfgang, Mozart, and Albert Einstein. They go to biography.com, and I looked at their list. Their list, Thomas Edison, Christopher Columbus, Martin Luther, Galileo, Leonardo da Vinci, Isaac Newton, Ferdinand Magellan, Louis Pasteur, and Charles Darwin and Thomas Jefferson. Okay, so I took a look at these three lists, and I said to myself, where do we have repetition? Well, it turns out that there's only one that was mentioned all three times on all three lists.
Was it Walt Disney?
No.
Oh, I must have missed. I didn't.
Yeah.
He wasn't on the list?
He wasn't even on the list.
No.
Only one made all three lists.
It was a president, right?
Nope. Wasn't a president, wasn't a scientist.
Hmm.
It wasn't a political figure. It wasn't an artist, wasn't a literary giant. It was Martin Luther.
Wow.
Martin Luther made the top four in all three lists, and he's the only one on all three lists. Martin Luther, the most influential man of the millennium, when you take the three most important lists that have been produced in the last, 16 years since the millennium. So when we say man of the millennium, we're talking about people who have lived between 1000 AD and 2000 AD. And according to these three lists from A&E, Time Magazine, and Biography.com, Martin Luther is the only one that makes it on all three lists.
Do they give reasons for this?
No, not necessarily. No, not really. They said, well, there's some debate on this kind of stuff, but these are the ones that we're going to produce for our lists. Now, it turns out Gutenberg made two lists. Isaac Newton made two lists. Charles Darwin made two lists.
Galileo.
Shakespeare made two lists. Galileo made two lists. Mm-hmm. Columbus made two lists. Einstein made two lists. And Jefferson made two lists. That is, you've got scientists, you've got a literary figure, you've got a political figure, Thomas Jefferson, you've got an inventor, and that would be Gutenberg, and a pseudoscientist, Charles Darwin, and an explorer, Christopher Columbus, who made two lists. But as it turns out, only one made all three lists, and that would be Martin Luther, the great reformer of 500 years ago. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the most influential man in all of history in just a moment on the Generations Radio broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. Five states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abortifacient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. Protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And we're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you. Speaking of Martin Luther, the man of the millennium, is on all three lists. The only character that makes it onto all three millennial lists, Martin Luther, the most influential man of the last 1,000 years. Well, because he was the father of the Reformation, this being the 500th anniversary of his nailing the 95 Theses on the Wittenberg church door. Well, here, I want to take a little bit of an excursus for just a moment, Bill, and talk about another list, and that is Time Magazine's most significant figures in all of history, not just the millennium, but all of history. And so I was kind of curious, well, let's expand this not just to the 1,000 years, but to all of history. And sure enough, Jesus Christ turns out to be the most significant figure in all of history. Who would have thought? Of course, he's the most significant figure in all of history, friends. Of course he is. Why? Because he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the carpenter from Galilee, the seed of David, the Son of God, is recognized by the most powerful news agencies in the world as the most influential figure in all of history. That makes perfect sense. Absolutely, it makes perfect sense. And by the way, Ranker put him at number one as well. The Lord Jesus Christ is number one. And what he is doing, what has he done over the last 2,000 years, according to 1 Corinthians 15 and Acts chapter 2, he is on the right hand of the Father. So positionally, where is he? He's on the right hand of the Father. He was put on the Father's right hand in AD 33, which would have been approximately 1,984 years ago. 1,984 years ago. Again, speaking in terms of time. Indeed, this happened in time. Yes, it happened in time. He rose from the dead approximately 1,984 years ago, give or take. And he is now on the right hand of the Father. And what is he doing there? He's ruling until all of his enemies are under his footstool. So he's not playing tiddlywinks. I think that's important. People need to understand he's not taking a vacation. Jesus Christ is very active. He's been very active in history. That's why I'm doing this history course for Christian children who will be hopefully educated in a Christian way over the next generation or two. We want to be sure that we're not giving our children worldly history, but Christian history, in which we understand what Jesus is doing in history. And indeed, he's made some progress. Psalm 72 says, "He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth." Now, has he gone to the ends of the earth? He's gone to the ends of the earth. It actually has happened. "Those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him. His enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish of the Isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him." You know, I've been going through the history of missions and found that one of the very first instances in which the gospel made it to the Congo occurred in the 1480s, 1490s, where these kings actually became Christian, and then they kicked the Portuguese out because the Portuguese weren't acting like Christians. Did you know that?
I did.
Interesting. I didn't realize that until I read this great story about the kings of Congo.
Yeah, and Alfonso was one of the kings.
Alfonso, yes. How did you know, man? You've taken my course. Mm-hmm. You've read my books. What's going on?
You read my mind.
Maybe you were the one. I footnoted you in the book, I'm sure. But Jesus Christ, very influential friends all around the world, every continent, every nation, he's made an impact. And I'm hoping that more and more so, Bill, our kids will understand this. We're not just showing up for the first time and saying, hello, we're introducing the gospel for the first time on planet Earth. It's been around the globe a few times.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is that the rancor, at least, survey puts all of the people and gives their profession. Okay, for example, Aristotle's a tutor, a polymath, and a scientist. Galileo was a mathematician, physicist, and a scientist. Isaac Newton, mathematician, physicist, chemist. Jesus Christ, carpenter.
No, wait. Prophet, they actually use carpenter, prophet?
Preacher.
Preacher. And yeah. The son of God, son of man, king of kings, lord of lords.
Isn't it interesting that they list him as carpenter?
Carpenter, yeah.
And he's the most influential person in history.
Starting out at a carpenter in Nazareth. That's a tremendous, tremendous testimony, friends, to the entire world. Certainly Psalm 72 is a biblical prophecy that has come to pass. Hello? Biblical prophecy has come to pass. It has happened. Does that strengthen your faith, Bill?
It does.
It strengthens my faith.
And we should be reminded of this. You know, it's what the children of Israel were told, you know. You need to tell your children what God has done. And we need to tell our children what Jesus has done to bring peace, to bring stability, to bring prosperity, to bring security to nations who embrace him.
Psalm 78, tell the stories. Tell the stories to your children, to your grandchildren, up to 3-4 generations. Time's most significant figures in all of history. Jesus, number one. Number two is Napoleon. Number three, Muhammad. Napoleon doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I understand he reversed the entire economy of the feudal system and then brought in the modern bureaucracies and the modern government. So I understand that the modern socialist governments are largely due to Napoleon and the modern public schools and such due to Napoleon and Jean-Jacques Rousseau. But William Shakespeare's on the list, Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, which kind of reminds me of a kind of a Maricentric view of history. Rancor includes Einstein, as you said, Da Vinci, Aristotle, and Socrates are on the list. Mm-hmm. So they certainly recognize something of the Greek philosophers and their humanist influence upon universities from the 12th century onwards. And I think we ought to remember that they had a fairly significant influence upon
So here's somebody that should be on the list higher up than he is. Who do you think should be on all of those lists? And you haven't mentioned his name yet. He should be higher up, I think, on the list than even a Charles Darwin.
Well, Martin Luther isn't on this list. Should be.
I'm thinking of Moses.
Well, that's true, too. Yes.
I mean, the lawgiver.
The biblical example of Moses. And you're right. You're right.
Now, he's listed as number 16 on Ranker's list.
Yeah.
That's fascinating that he doesn't appear on the other lists higher up than he does.
Well, I made my own list. You want to hear my list?
Yeah. Am I on your list?
No.
What?
You didn't make the list.
What? Didn't make the cut?
I think Christians ought to make a list as well. I think we ought to. And maybe as a Generations ministry, we ought to issue a list, our own list of the most influential people in all of history, at least the last 1,000 years. And so here's what I would say. In terms of those who have come after Christ, these are the names I would put, and I would do it in these categories. I think you break it out into categories. So think in terms of categories. Christian Reformation, and that would have been the last 500 to 600 years. Yes, I would put Martin Luther and John Knox as on the list of those who were powerful reformers, good preachers. They got the word out. They were lightning rods for the Reformation. John Knox in Scotland, Martin Luther in Germany, huge, huge influence, absolutely huge influence. Martin Luther, no question about it, was the influencer on John Calvin, the influencer on John Knox, the influencer on William Tyndale. These guys were influenced by Martin Luther. He was the original, no question, no getting around it. He was the lightning rod. He was by far the most influential men of the Reformation. So for the Christian Reformation, I put Martin Luther, John Knox very high. Christian theology, I would include Augustine, Athanasius, and John Calvin. Why Athanasius? Because Athanasius was Contra Mundum. It's one of the most famous names or titles in all of Christian history. Athanasius stood against the Arians when the Arians had taken over the empire. You know, the Caesar had gone the way of Arius. And you say, who's Arius? Arius was the original Jehovah's Witness. So just so people understand, the entire Christian church was run by a cult for a while. it was a cult. But there was one man, Athanasius, stood against it strongly and was reduced to caves. You know, he was kicked out of Alexandria, reduced to a cave. So Athanasius would be on my list. John Calvin would be on my list. Very influential in terms of a theologian. He was more of a theologian than Martin Luther was and had tremendous influence on 7 or 8 nations, Switzerland, Netherlands, America, England, Wales, Scotland, these nations that were strongly reforming nations, all of them influenced by John Calvin. So certainly we need to include John Calvin on the list. In terms of technology, yes, Gutenberg would be on my list for technology. Would we include anybody else for the development of technology? I might include Henry Ford. Mm-hmm. I might include the guy who developed the first computer, who, by the way, was a Christian. Interesting.
Yep.
I think his name is Balbridge, if I'm not mistaken.
I thought it was
Babbage. Babbage. Yeah. Charles Babbage, yes. Okay. So technology. Revival of humanism.
What about Edison? I think I'd put Edison on that list.
Yeah.
As far as technology.
Oh, yes. I think I would too. Yes. Okay. So in terms of the revival of humanism and the original humanist philosophers, yes, you've got to include Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle. Yes, you've got to include them. They're very influential in terms of the other side, the humanist philosophy, the humanist epistemology, attempting to develop a philosophy, a humanist philosophy built up upon human reason, apart from biblical revelation. And that was Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle. Now, they were never successful at it, but they attempted to do so. And they influenced a man by the name of Thomas Aquinas, who was, I think, should be on the list for reviving humanism in the 1200s. So somebody had to revive the Greek humanism and reintroduce it to the quote-unquote Christian universities of the 1200s, 1300s, and that was Aquinas' job, and Aquinas did it. So the revival of humanism came under Thomas Aquinas, and that has yielded an 800-year influence upon the universities, working very, very hard to maintain a human philosophy built up upon human reason, which is what Thomas Aquinas said needed to happen. Also, the leaders of revolutions and those who produced many, many deaths. I think we need to include these. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the father of the French Revolution. Karl Marx, of course, the father of the hundreds of millions of dead bodies of the 20th century. Mao Zedong, Genghis Khan, and Philip II, who was very influential in the Dutch Inquisition and the Spanish Inquisition. So let's be sure we include the bad guys on the list as well. Philip II, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, Karl Marx, Mao Zedong, and Genghis Khan. Also, leaders of apostasy. And I would say the most influential leader in the modern day apostasy would have been Charles Darwin, but I'd also include Friedrich Nietzsche on that list as well. Now, I've dealt with these men who destroyed the Christian West in my book Apostate, so be sure to read the stories. But Charles Darwin and Friedrich Nietzsche, both influential, but of course Charles Darwin, far more influential, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Now, in terms of science, I would include Isaac Newton, and of course, there's got to be 3 to 4 others that you would include in the development of modern physics, chemistry, biology, and so forth, and most of whom were actually professing Christians. And so there's some good news there as well. The most influential deceiver of the nations over 1,400 years. Now, we've talked a little bit about the modern apostasy in the humanist world, where the humanists like Charles Darwin, Friedrich Nietzsche, and Karl Marx did their best to corrupt the entire Western world, and that is the Western nations. But now the rest of the nations around the world, who has been most influential in deceiving most of the nations around the world, I would put Muhammad on that list. Muhammad. Certainly, he has been the prophet. Now, you throw in Joseph Smith and a few others who have added their little piece, but nobody has come as close to deceiving the nations and as many people around the world as the quote-unquote Islamic prophet Muhammad. Now, also, let's move on to some positives. The Christian missions influencing 1,600 years. That is, who was really influential early on? I would put Patrick Columcille and Columbanus as the early disciples. People understand, ask the question from time to time, how come all these Europeans seem to have participated in the Protestant Reformation? And how come all these Europeans still seem to have something of a remnant of a Christian faith? Where did that come from? Weren't we cannibals in the 400s, in the 500s and 600s? Yeah, we were the cannibals. So I think people need to remember that. Certainly these folks coming from Anglo-Saxon backgrounds and such need to remember that they were total pagans until Patrick showed up. They were total pagans until Columcille and Columbanus and Boniface and some of these others showed up. So these were important missionaries of the first 1400 years or 1600 years of the European missions, and Patrick would be right there at the front of that whole crowd. So that's why, of course, we study Patrick in Christian history. Those who give their children a Christian education will give their children a thorough understanding of the work of Patrick in the 400s and the 500s, and then Columcille and Columbanus and others as well. And then now Christian missions impacting the next 2 to 3 billion people around the world over the last 300 years, Count Zinzendorf. You absolutely have to have Count Zinzendorf. I've got an entire chapter on the Moravian missions. If you haven't read about the Moravian missions and you don't know the guys on your team, friends, shame on you. Shame on you. You got to know the people on your team, right, Bill? You know, wouldn't you say that Count Zinzendorf is more important to the Christian church than even Charles Darwin or Aristotle?
Oh, yeah.
Zinzendorf's story is phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. And what happened with the Moravians, friends, you've got to read these stories. You've got to read about David Brainerd. David Brainerd's autobiography was extremely influential with Adoniram Judson, Wim Carey, and others. Very, very seminal to the modern movement of missions. So David Brainerd would be on my list. John G. Payton, William Carey, William Blair, Hudson Taylor. You say, who's William Blair? Hudson Taylor's mentor. William Blair, the great revivalist from Scotland. If you don't know him, if you haven't heard about his mission trips through the backwoods of China over a period of some 20, 25 years, where he finally died up in northeastern China on the Korean border. If you haven't read about William Blair, shame on you. Shame on you. You haven't read about the kingdom of God and what God's done through the missions of the Christian missions and Christian missionaries like these men. All right, let's talk about literature just for a moment. Non-Christian literature, I would put Shakespeare on that list. Now, I went to Wikipedia and found the most published authors in the history of literature and found that Shakespeare is way up there. Miguel de Cervantes is number 2. And, of course, he wrote
Don Quixote.
Yeah. Don Quixote, right, sold 500 million copies. So certainly he's got to be on the list as well. Now, so these are non-Christians. Barbara Cartland, Danielle Steele, and J.K. Rowling are on my list. They have to be. They've sold 500 million copies. Yeah, you sell 500 million copies of anything, you better be on my list. for non-Christian literature. These are non-Christians that had huge influence upon the minds of men. All right, Matt, how about Christian literature? John Bunyan, number one. No question. John Bunyan's got to be on your list. Absolutely. Huge influence. In fact, William Blair, one of the first Chinese missionaries of the 1820s and 1830s, translated Pilgrim's Progress into the Chinese language. And, you know, and you find that's the very next book they translate. They translate the Bible and then John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. And that was the other book on everybody's little library in the 1780s and 1790s in pioneering America. You know, they'd have two books, the Bible and then Pilgrim's Progress. Pilgrim's Progress, huge, absolutely huge. Most popular book for 300 years. It hung in there for 300 years. Pilgrim's Progress, huge. So I would say for Christian literature, John Bunyan and C.S. Lewis would be the two on my list. Now, there's probably another 5 or 10 or 15 that should be on the list. But if you want the top two, it's going to wind up being Pilgrim's Progress. I'm sorry, John Bunyan and C.S. Lewis. And for Bible translators, John Wycliffe and William Tyndale, of course. For those who sought freedom and fought for freedom, Patrick of Ireland did. William Fitzwalter was the one who secured the Magna Carta that gave us an 800-year legacy of freedom in the Western world. Read about it in my book, Freedom, published just last year. Be sure to get the Heritage of Western Freedoms. If you like to live in America and you'd rather not live in a gulag, be sure you thank God for your freedoms and thank God for William Fitzwalter. If you don't even know who he is, shame on you. Got to know who William Fitzwalter is, and William the Silent, of course, down there in the Netherlands. William Wilberforce is on my list for those who fought for freedom. Would you put him on the list?
I'd put him way near the top.
Yeah, okay. All right. And then Patrick Henry, one of my favorites. Now, let's end with this. Modern Christian reformers, who would you put in the last, say, 50, 60, 80 years as significant reformers that brought back a biblical worldview against the humanists of the 20th and 21st centuries?
Well, I'd have to put Francis Schaeffer on that list.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then his mentor, who was?
Abraham Kuyper. Cornelius Van Til.
But this guy was in the 20s.
Okay.
In the 20s and influenced Schaeffer. And his name just escaped me. Okay. I'm sorry.
Well, you've got Cornelius Van Til. And I think Schaeffer studied under Cornelius Van Til for some time, the presuppositionalist from Westminster Theological Seminary. I would have Henry Morse on the list too.
Yes.
Wouldn't you?
Certainly.
Henry Morse, John C. Whitcomb. Mm-hmm. Because they issued a book called The Genesis Flood and introduced the idea that really God's word is the epistemological authority, even if it opposes what really smart scientists say.
Yeah.
Just something about that. Something about a scientist who humbled himself.
Mm-hmm.
That's significant to me. That's significant to me. In the 20th century, the age of scientists with all of their arrogance, it was nice to have somebody humble themselves. And I throw Martin Lloyd-Jones on that list from the 1940s and 1950s as well. Well, here we go. This is my top 10 list. If you want to know my top 10 list. Now, I'm going to be a little bit of negotiation here. My top 10 list for the most influential people who were influential for good for the longest period of time over the last roughly 1900 years. Here we go. Number one, Jesus Christ and his disciples. See, I include his disciples. Can you really negate the disciples?
No,
you can't. These are his apostles. He used his apostles to turn the world upside down. So include his apostles on the list. Okay, number one, Jesus Christ and his apostles. Number two, Patrick of Ireland. Number three, Martin Luther. Number four, John Calvin. Number five, Count Zinzendorf, the father of modern missions. Number six, William Tyndale, who is the translator of the English Bible. Very crucial.
Yep.
Crucial to the Geneva Bible, crucial to the King James Version. William Tyndale, of course, martyred. His last words were, God, please open the eyes of the King of England.
Wow.
William Tyndale's number six. Number seven is John Bunyan. Number eight is Augustine. Number nine is David Brainerd. And number 10, John Wycliffe. Now, I'm negotiable on some of those, but I'm not negotiable for number one. All right. Influential for evil on the most, in terms of influencing the most people for the longest time for the cause of evil. Number one would be Muhammad. Number two would be Charles Darwin. Number three would be Jean-Jacques Rousseau. Number four, Genghis Khan. Number five, Karl Marx. Number six, Mao Zedong. Number seven, John Paul Sartre, because he influenced the zeitgeist so significantly. The media. He was the strongest influencer of the media and, of course, the father of the modern terrorist movement. And number eight would be Friedrich Nietzsche, the father of modern psychology, who the last 7 years of his life went clinically insane. And then number nine was the Emperor Philip II, the instigator of the Dutch Inquisition, the Spanish Inquisition. And then number 10, probably Lenin.
I'd put Sigmund Freud in there too, yeah. Somewhere.
Well, I'd probably say Nietzsche slash Freud because they were interrelated.
Yep.
Well, my friends, that's my list. Anybody else? Bill, would you include anybody else? Have I missed somebody?
No. I mean, there's tons of people you can throw on that list.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the important thing, friends, is this is the 500th year of the Reformation, and we're going to talk about this more as we continue, because we would love to see the Reformation zeal of the first Reformation affect our current Reformation today. We would love to see something of a Reformation today. We would love to see people restore sola scriptura, the scriptures, as the absolute authority to affect all of what we do, all of what we think. We want to see scriptures brought and applied in family worship, which I think that's what happened. Once the scriptures were translated into the common tongue, the scriptures were available to each and every father who could bring the word of God to bear on a daily basis in his home. And that, my friends, was the orthopraxic element of the great Reformation of the 16th century. And if somehow fathers and mothers would find that the word of God could be that incredibly powerful instrument in their homes to bring about spiritual reformation in their homes, tremendous things I think would happen in homes and churches across this country, and I pray that God would bring that about. Well, we'll talk more about the Reformation and its influence throughout this year. This is the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. May God reform the church again, beginning in our homes, our families, and our local churches. Well, grab a copy of my book, Apostate: The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, to better understand what has happened in the development of two streams, the streams towards humanism, and then there was the stream towards a more God-centered Reformation. And it was the humanist stream that overwhelmed the God-centered stream in the Western world. But we pray that somehow the scripture-based, God-centered stream would once again flow richly through our churches, through our homes, through our schools in the years to come. We're hoping for a God-centeredness to return in the 21st century. That's our prayer. Grab a copy of my book, Apostate: The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, to better understand the story. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.